This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Karen Reed.
It continues to be one of the most interesting trials I think that we have ever covered here, the trial of Karen Reed. We're continuing to break it down as more and more pieces of evidence come to light and more pieces of minutiae keep getting introduced into the dialogue by the defense of Karen Reed, hoping to maybe convince some jurors of reasonable doubts that Karen struck John with her car, despite the timestamps matching up, DNA, and, you know, Karen's own words. Joining me to discuss, Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent. So here we go. Let's start with talking about the timestamps. And there's a lot to get through here. We just saw the testimony just the other day, the timestamp details being brought to light that basically show, okay, his phone stops actively being active at precisely the time the vehicle strike occurs with the Lexus SUV. Let's talk about the timestamp, how they got here. Let's go with that. Why now? Why did it take so long for this time to be, I guess, aligned? What was the issue here? Why now that this is suddenly there and we didn't have it in the past?
Well, there were a couple issues, Tony. First of all, there was some information that they weren't able to glean initially from her Lexus. And now with them hiring a new company and new digital forensic experts, they were able to retrieve information that was not able to be retrieved previously. So that's one reason. And then the second reason is this clock secret, synchronization, is that a word? Sequencing it appropriately in terms of the delay or the lapse between one clock versus another clock and how the time is kept. So when you put that all together, now we have it just in black and white. It can't be changed. It's a factual matter, and you know, it's damning to the defense.
I mean, so we have new data from the Lexus. That's how they were able to basically match this all. Again, why did it take so long for us to get here? This has obviously been an ongoing trial, an ongoing case for so many years now. Is this new technology? Like, what is the, I don't fully understand the reason why this took this long, because it is a pretty damning piece. And had we known this like right out of the gate, maybe there wouldn't even be a trial.
Well, I don't think so, because there's no way that somebody like Karen Reed would ever plea. Mm-hmm. She's just not that kind of a person. You know, early on we heard Yannetti say, listen, this was just an accident. She loved him, right? Mm-hmm. And look at where we are here today. But to your question, essentially you had individuals that were not hired. They weren't hired the first time around. Mm-hmm. They just went with individuals who did not have the technology and the knowledge to get that information. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting, Tony, because probably 6-7 months ago, oh, wow, that's when we first started seeing in the documents and paperwork, whoa, they were able to get you more information from the quote-unquote black box, mm-hmm. right, from that Lexus. And that's why it's really very simple, because technology has to meet knowledge. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened.
And there's a lot that is to be gleaned out of that. The testimony from Shannon Burgess just the other day. I mean, it looks pretty damning. And then the defense came up and then they started swinging at him, not about the data itself, not about the timestamps, not about how it matches up, not about that critical piece, but about his resume, about what he has on his LinkedIn, about what's on a website, that he didn't quite finish a bachelor's degree, that he says on the website or in his profile, it says that he had completed. Good distraction, but also something that you look at and you go, come on, guys. Like, did we not know that the defense was not going to look for something to try and impugn this guy's credibility. How did this miss the prosecution? How did they miss this as being a possible issue? Or did they know it going in? Like, yeah, they're going to go after him for this, but if that's all they got, that's all they got.
No, I think the prosecution missed it. This could have been cleaned up a long time ago. In fact, the defense, it would seem, just figured this out. Why? Because they had a CD from him that was in this trial that showed his diploma was in progress, that he was still working on getting his BS degree in these, from this university, the University of Alabama at Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, that's how they caught it, and then they just cross-referenced it, and actually, my understanding is it wasn't even the defense. It was a Reddit FKR who said, hey, you guys might want to take a look at this.
Mm-hmm.
And then, da-da, here we are. But certainly the prosecution should have double-checked what was on the website, because everybody else's. There's just so many slips out.
Mm-hmm.
If there's anything that doesn't add up, you better know about it.
Yeah, I mean, it just seemed like a kind of obvious one that was overlooked. I mean, you better make sure that who you're bringing up there has, accurate information online. Do you, obviously, anybody could relay this information to a certain extent. I guess one could say, it's attacking the messenger, but this is the guy who put these dots together and who's giving this opinion. Would it be just as easy for anyone else to have put these dots together or give this opinion? Or is there some reason that this is the only guy that was qualified to do it?
Well, I think the concerning part isn't Shannon Burgess. He's certainly qualified. He's got 10 years of doing this under his belt. I think he's absolutely competent. Honestly, having a BS degree from a university, meaning a Bachelor of Science or any degree, doesn't make you great at digital forensics,
mm-hmm.
right? You're studying a lot of digital stuff. He was getting a minor in mathematics and business administration. Really nothing to do with digital forensics. It's all his other certifications and education that is interesting and important for what he was reporting on. So it's really in large sums, not that important, but it just looks bad. It looks like he was deceiving. And he really, I don't believe he was. I've explained this before, but essentially when you're an expert witness and you work for a company, that company pays for everything in terms of your advertising.
Mm-hmm.
And they take your CV and they disseminate it to the various platforms. And then those website creators make up a nice creative page about you, something that's easy to digest. And how they, did this, and the fact that he didn't see it, Tony, I know people say, oh, come on, he should have been looking at it. You don't necessarily look at the websites that feature you.
Yeah.
You just don't. And you need to, and certainly after this, he's going to. He took down his LinkedIn already. On LinkedIn, there's a particular annotation you must make when you talk about when you got your degrees. And I know this because of putting that in, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to say the year you graduated. And what I believe happened from really researching this is he put in LinkedIn his estimated when he thought he was going to graduate, which I think if I remember.
And I think essentially what
was he didn't graduate.
LinkedIn just
that because he hadn't been on his LinkedIn page like most of us for years, other than receiving messages.
Let's talk for a second about the actual data itself, the big point here, not his resume or him not completing the bachelor's degree. If we're just talking the data alone, how damning is it? And is there any other way that you think the defense of Karen Reed is going to try and spin this other than just trying to attack the credibility or the degree that he didn't complete yet on his LinkedIn page or the website?
I don't think that will sit that well with the jury in terms of if they're able to understand it. Brennan did a pretty good job getting things out there that were important.
Mm-hmm.
It's really going to depend. You know, to be honest, I think a lot of times the experts cancel each other out.
Yeah.
I think juries want to hear, okay, this expert said this, where's the counter to that? But remember in the last trial, they discounted what ARCA had to say.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas all of us at social media were all in a fluff about it. Oh, see, there's no possible way, according to their models and their potato throwers,
yum,
that, you know, that car could have hit John O'Keefe.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the jury really discounted that piece. So I don't know how they'll take it, but certainly social media is up in a dander about it.
Yeah, I mean, it seems pretty damning, where it's a timestamp, and the two timestamps seem to align. I mean, even if they were, I mean, because they have been off, because they've all recognized that these timestamps have been a bit off, but just having it alone, even if you couldn't quite match this up, the fact that her vehicle struck something around that time, very close to the time of John O'Keefe being hit, I mean, that in itself is damning without it even matching up to the exact second.
Yeah, I agree. And when you look at some of the clips, right, she mm-hmm. specifically says in her recent interview, she said, listen, I never reversed my car, never backed up. And I love that clip because mm-hmm. it shows she's not being honest. And she keeps saying it right now to the media. And we've seen her write it in text messages. Well, guess what? The information from the text stream doesn't lie.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now. And don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.